All right. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, there are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know how the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all at the second death. What can we learn from our past? One of the things that, about these seven churches, that there's several things that we can learn. In all but two, Jesus condemns, has a condemnation. But remember, we talked about what Jesus always does first. He gives them a compliment, or he gives them, hey, you did a great job, attaboy. And then he tells them what they've done wrong. Not the case with Smyrna. This is one of those that slipped by without any type of condemnation from God. Last week we looked at the church at Ephesus. Ephesus, as we started out, Jesus gave them some very positive things. He said, "Thy work, they worked hard. They had patience. They could discern good from evil. They worked hard without fainting or giving up. And they hated the Nicolaitans." And Jesus said, but, remember, we don't like that word but, do we? You lost or left your first love. They no longer served, worked, or labored out of their love for Jesus. They were just kind of going through the motions. And I have been in churches where they're just going through the motions. That's not a lot of fun, is it? When you're just going through the motions. But he's saying that's what Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, is doing. They've lost their first love. They've lost their passion. And he says, unless you repent, I'm going to take away your candlestick. And that's exactly what happened, because the church at Ephesus wasn't very long in history. Disappeared. It was erased. This morning we're going to venture 35 miles to Smyrna, the crushed church. This is modern day Izmir, which is the third largest city in Turkey. Smyrna was a very wealthy city. The Christians were in poverty. Alexander the Great had a great dream for Smyrna, but he didn't live long enough to see it happen. The Romans ended up having final control of Smyrna. But it was one of the most beautiful cities known in that world. It was a very important trade route for Rome. It brought a lot of money into Rome. You see, it was a very, very wealthy city. The population of Smyrna was approximately 200,000 people. And at the time, it was thought that this is what's amazing. At the time, they estimated that a third of that population were Christians. That's a lot of Christians in a pagan city. Smyrna means myrrh. How appropriate that word is for them. Myrrh, the more you crush myrrh, the more fragrant and more beautiful smelling it becomes. If you just take a hunk of myrrh, it really doesn't have that great of a smell. But when you start crushing it, it begins to spread out. And it has a beautiful smell, as it just covers everywhere in that beautiful smell. But it has to be crushed first. Smyrna, the thing about Smyrna, the Christians there were hated not only by the Romans, but they were hated by the Jews. They had both groups against them. And this is building to the point where we're going to have to understand the idea of you're poor, you live in poverty, but yet you're rich. In 195 to 197 BC, Smyrna dedicated a temple to the goddess of Rome. In AD 26, it was the first city and only one to build a temple to Tiberius Caesar and treated him as a god. That temple was called Temple of Roma. Now, this is going to be important. Smyrna had a lot of gold streets, and one of the main streets ended up at the doorsteps of Zeus's temple. Either side of the road going up through there, that golden street, just imagine a golden streets in the city of Smyrna. On either side of them are all these different temples, different gods, and it ends up at the doorstep or at the very front of Caesar. And one of these temples was Temple of Roma, means Temple of Rome. And this sets the stage for what's going on there. Recognizing who Jesus is, or who Jesus was, and what Jesus was all about. It was kind of Jesus' resume. He says, I am the first and I am the last, which was dead and is alive. In other words, Jesus is saying that I was here during before creation. I'll be here forever afterwards. And he said, I was once dead, but now I was resurrected. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, the beginning and the last. Jesus declares himself that he's explaining to them, yes. I was saying because there was a very strong belief during this time that Jesus died for our sins, but there's a whole group of people that didn't believe he was resurrected. To me, that's the icing on the cake. The death, the burial, and then, of course, the resurrection is the icing for me on the cake. And it just proves that not only could he beat death, he and sin and Satan, he was able to beat it all. Jesus goes on and says, this I promise you. Smyrna, you're going to be martyrs. You too will die, but then you will become alive. You will end up giving your life for my sake. And because you believe and you follow me, your life may be forfeited. Jesus tells them that he is there. I am with you. I want you to know, no matter what, that I am with you. It's like two soldiers of war. They have a camaraderie. They know what it is to be in battle. And they can have that language back and forth. Because they know what it's like to be in the trenches. They know what it's like to be shot at. They know what it's like to be put in danger. And Jesus is telling them, I know exactly what you're going through. I know you. And so the commendation that he gives them is, I know your works. Jesus says, I know their works. I know their total devotion. Smyrna is still in love with Jesus, their first love. Even though they're totally devoted and their heart is his, and the Christians at Smyrna, there is no compromise, there is no giving in or giving up. The Christians of Smyrna are very, very strong Christians. And it says that you're going to face tribulation. The Roman government is pouring out persecution. And in the process of the Romans that are attacking the Christians, the Jews jump on the bandwagon with the Romans and they too start pressuring the Christians. And that's why he says they're Jews in name only. They are the temple of Satan. They are not truly Jewish people. They tried and they tried and they tried to destroy Christianity from growing. But the more Like we said, with myrrh, the more you crush myrrh, the more it spreads. The more you try to crush the Christians at Smyrna, the more it spread. What a beautiful fragrance in Jesus' name. From the time of Nero to Diocletian, there were 10 edicts against Christianity. They were persistent in trying to wipe out Christianity. And Jesus said, not only do I know your tribulation, I know what you're going through, but I know that you're in poverty. So let's go back to, I told you that the Temple of Rome will be important. Once a year, every single citizen of Smyrna had to go, this is once a year, they had to go to the Temple of Rome, dedicated to the Caesar. They had to swear allegiance to Caesar in order to work, buy, sell, or live in Smyrna. By law, they had to have a certificate that showed that they could buy or sell or trade or work. And the only way they can get a certificate is if they have sworn allegiance to Caesar. This is what they had to do. Had to take a pinch of incense, and they tossed it into the little censer, and they said, Kyrios Caesar, or Caesar is Lord. And there's no Christian at all that's going to do that. And the Christians at Smyrna were not going to do that. And so they didn't want to do that. They were not going to do it. So they were required to do this in order to even have poverty. They were required to do it, or property. They were required to do it to buy and sell anything legally. But Jesus says, despite your poverty, and this is why they're in poverty, is because they will not swear allegiance to Rome. And so because of that, they are poor. They are destitute. But he says, in spite of that, you're rich. Whenever you serve Jesus, whenever you're persecuted, whenever you have problems that the world wants to throw at you, you become stronger and richer in Jesus Christ. He says, I know your pain. I know your sadness. I know your suffering. He said, you're not forgiven. That's the same message Jesus gives you and I today. He says, I know your pain. I know when you're having medical problems. I know when you're having financial problems. I know when you're having relationship problems. He said, I know when you're having problems at work. He says, I know you're having problems at church or wherever, or neighborhood, wherever it may be. I know when you're in pain. He's saying, I know when you're sad. I know when you've lost a loved one. I know when things aren't going the way they should. I know you're sad. And I know you're suffering. So whatever you're going through this morning, to know that Jesus Christ knows exactly what you're going through. Jesus knows their suffering. He knows that we're suffering, or we're sad, or we're in pain, or we're whatever it may be. And despite that poverty, you're rich. You're rich. You're rich in Christ. God knows. God cares. God is working for you. Can you imagine living in that type of fear? That if you did not swear allegiance to the Caesar, in the Temple of Rome, if you did not give your allegiance, you couldn't find work legally. You couldn't buy legally. You couldn't sell legally. Your children would starve. You would starve, and you'd be on the street. Now, we as Christians in America don't ever say we're persecuted. Because we are not, are we? We're inconvenienced. We may be laughed at, may be ridiculed, but we don't know what it means to be persecuted. This is persecution. And there are parts of our world today who face the same persecution. Do you all realize that? But not us. We can pray for them. We can support them. There's a lot of things that we can do for them. But you've not been forgotten. They've not been forgotten. And the Smyrna Christians have not been forgotten. And I know the blasphemy of them. They may be false witnesses. They may have a false testimony. but they are liars and they are deceivers. And why he calls it the temple of there, you know, it's not the Jewish temple, it's the, he calls it the temple of, or the synagogue of Satan, is because they who are Jews pay the allegiance to Rome. They take that little incense and they throw it in there and they give their allegiance to Caesar. So whenever they gather around or their synagogue, you think about, here they are, good Jews. They claim they are. They're going into their synagogue. But they've already given allegiance to Caesar. You are nothing more than a synagogue of Satan. You can't live in both worlds. And the Jews were trying to live in both worlds at this time. Jesus says they are not of God. They are of Satan. And then he goes on and he tells them, fear nothing. Fear nothing. Do not be afraid of what men can do. Do not be afraid of what men can do. You might suffer. But Satan will cast some of you in prison. That you may be tried. Smyrna Christians were not fly-by-night Christians by no stretch of the imagination. They weren't Sunday morning go to Christians. They were Christians 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because if they weren't, they would have died. They may have died anyway by serving Jesus. They weren't lukewarm. And they weren't physically safe. You think about it, you listen to this. In Smyrna, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will embrace poverty, persecution, prison, and even death. Any of those or all of those. He says in 10 days. 10 days is an apocalyptic meaning of persecution. 10 days is, there's 10 emperors of Rome that come through the line that he's talking about. And imagine this, that who were martyred at this time were 5 million Christians during this period of time. That's a lot of Christians. That's an estimation that they have, that there were 5 million Christians that died during these 10 emperors of Rome's reign. He says you need to be faithful unto death because it may happen. One of the most interesting things that we have, what we call our early church fathers. One of those early church fathers was a guy called Polycarp. You may or may not know who Polycarp was. But he was the pastor, he was the bishop of Smyrna. He was actually recommended to be the pastor by John the Apostle. It's amazing. He is drugged in AD 155. He's taken to the stadium. He's asked to denounce Jesus. And he doesn't. He says, how can I? How can I? 86 years I've served him. He said, how can I turn my back on Jesus? And they burned him alive. He was the pastor of Smyrna. We know that. So when he's saying be faithful unto death, was John being told about what's going to happen to Polycarp? Probably, because he's one of the 5 million that have been killed by the Romans. But can you imagine being burned alive? The church of Smyrna knew persecution. The church of Smyrna knew poverty. The church of Smyrna knew prison. They knew death. But they loved Jesus. They loved Jesus. You know, you think about everything the church of Smyrna has gone through, and they still stood up for Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't come, and now I have something against you. There isn't one. Jesus is... stands behind them, and he knows exactly what they're doing, and he praises them for what they do, because he knows that to be a Christian is not to be a militant, not to be an aggressor, not to be argumentative. You know, you see that a lot of times, and that to me just destroys the witness of Christ. In face of hate, love. In the face of ridicule, love. In the face of harassment, love. What can we learn from Smyrna? That no matter what happens to us, Jesus knows what's going on. He knows when we're sad, mourning, financially hurting, medically hurting, you know, emotionally hurting. He knows. No matter what it is, Jesus knows. And the thing to always remember, they never lost their first love. Jesus commends them because they still loved him. And he challenges us not to give up and forget our first love. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for Christians at Smyrna that gave their life, and Christians throughout the world at the time, and even Christians today who are, their life is forfeited because of Jesus. Father, we lift them up who are in some of these countries. Father, we have missionaries from the United States that go into countries and we can't even give their name out because of their safety. May they have courage to preach the gospel and stand up for you. And please keep them safe. Father, help us as Christians, no matter what situation we're in, whatever we face, that we know that you know, and that we'll stand with you and we'll not run from you, but we'll seek you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.